Today we are launching Alpha, which starts here this week. I want to ask George and Alice, where's Alice, to come up. And George, come on up. And you guys did Alpha last year, and I just want to ask you both a couple of questions, isn't it? Let's give them a welcome. That's great. It's always a bit nerve-wracking up here. So, George, first of all, what was it like doing Alpha last year?
Stimulating and mild interested.
So what led you to do Alpha last year?
I was curious. I wanted to know much more about God, and I found it very interesting, and it drew me closer to God.
Great. Alice, what about you? What was it like for you doing Alpha last year?
Alpha for me is fun, it's interesting, and life-changing experience. Yeah.
Great. And what was the highlight?
The highlight for me is the cake, again. I always have to mention the homemade cake. Yeah, it has to be.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, it's the discussion, like, session. After we watch the short video, so we're allowed to have some time to think. So after the homemade cake, then you're allowed to discuss it. And this is the time for me to ask all the questions in my head.
Okay. Yeah. You had a few questions, did
Many
you?
Many at that time.
George, what was the highlight for you?
Well, the highlight was to see most of the things that happened, yeah. Especially one that comes to mind is a gentleman that he had a hard time. He even went to prison. And he was, Alpha was recommended to him, and he eventually became a priest. And lots of things, I can't recall it now, but...
Okay. And this was one of the people we saw interviewed on the screen.
Yeah.
Great. So, when you were doing Alpha, did you feel under pressure?
Were you expected
to believe or say certain
things?
No,
more or less, gave me strength. Because, as I said, I was brought up in the Anglican Church, and, I wanted to find out more. And most of the things I've seen there, in my opinion, it wasn't done accidentally. I think it was the work of God.
Alice, what about you? Did you feel under pressure at all?
Not at all. At the beginning, I have to say, I have no idea what Alpha Course is about. So I joined the first session, then I kind of very nervous. I think people would be so serious and think everything only talk about God. But actually, it's not. You're allowed to think. You have a freedom to ask questions. And I have done through any pressure for the whole 10 weeks at all. I'm allowed to share my point of view and ask any question that I want to.
Yeah. Fantastic. Would you recommend Alpha?
100%.
Yeah, I recommend it because I'm doing it again this year.
He's coming back. Isn't that great? Bless you. And so, give him a round of applause. Thank you both. So George is coming back again. Alice is on team this year. And, certainly Alice had lots of questions, and it's great. Alpha's a great place to ask questions. It's not a place where we try and squeeze people through a sausage machine. It's a place where people come and express doubts and ask the very simple question, if you like, what is the meaning of life? What is this all about? Alpha runs now in 169 different countries. It runs in every mainstream Christian denomination. And it's estimated that today over 29 million people across the world have done Alpha. It's had a phenomenal effect, raising up a whole new generation of Christians, and as George said, of Christian leaders as well. And at the heart of Alpha are those verses that we had from our reading this morning from that story with Nicodemus. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's what Alpha is all about, making known the love of God, the love that God has for the world, and enabling people to be saved, to come into that place where they can be set free. Because, the fact is that all of us sin. We all do stuff that is wrong. Some of us do bigger stuff that's wrong than others, but we all sin in some way. We're all guilty, and in the words of Scripture, we all stand condemned. But We have a hope. And the hope is that Jesus Christ, the one we've been singing about this morning, God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world so that we no longer need to stand condemned. Because when we place our trust in him, we enter into that place where we're set free. We're set free from the sins we've committed, the sins we will commit in the future. We're set free from condemnation. And we can stand knowing that we have an eternal hope. And our desire at St. Stephen's, our desire through Alpha, the desire of all those churches that will be running Alpha this season, is that more people have that hope, that more people find the meaning of life through Jesus, that people find that there is more to life than the treadmill that so many of us find ourselves on. And as I look around this room, I know that many of you have done Alpha and you know that to be true. You've experienced it. People like George, who just over a year ago wouldn't have considered himself a Christian, but he sat here one Sunday morning and put his hand up to accept Christ into his life at the ripe old age of, well, I'm not going to reveal George, but you know, he's a bit older than many of us here. It's never too late, never too late to come to Jesus. So if you haven't got it in front of you still, let's turn back to that passage in John 3 on page 1065. Now here we have Nicodemus. Nicodemus, we read, was a Pharisee. He was a member of the ruling council. He was a good, upstanding sort of guy. And we see in verse 2, he came to Jesus at night. Now, we don't know why he came at night, but I think it's because of those things. He was this, you know, he wasn't one of Jesus' disciples. He was a Pharisee on the outside, but he wanted to know more. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who's come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." He knows that there is something special about Jesus. He knows that he's a good man. He knows that he's come from God in some way. But he doesn't yet know that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. He hasn't quite made that step. And you know, that is so common today. It's so common in our world. Many people, even people of other faiths, know that there is something special about Jesus. They see in him a good man. The evidence for Jesus' existence isn't in doubt. But what they don't grasp is the significance of being the Son of God who died on a cross, who rose again, and who sets us free. And so Jesus, and remember this is before his death and resurrection, goes on to say to Nicodemus and reveal something of who he is. And he says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb. Now Nicodemus is a good guy. You know, as a member of the ruling council, I guess he's like a member of the church council. He's a good serving man. He would have done stuff in the community. He would have got involved in caring for the poor, been a faithful worshipper and so on. He's got it all worked out in his head. He's ticked many of the boxes. But he's missing the vital thing. Because Jesus says, no one can come can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That no amount of good works, no amount of being born into the right family, no amount of saying the right things will enable you to have salvation unless, to use Jesus' words, you are born again. You see, it's only a living relationship with Jesus that enables us to be saved. Many people get involved in the church. Many people do good works in the church. Many people have an association and help out in some way. And that's great. Jesus commends Nicodemus. But he says it's not quite enough. We need to do a little bit more. We need to be born again. Now, we're not told what happens to Nicodemus after this, but I think we can assume that he got it and made that transition. Because the two times we read about him after this in John's Gospel, one in chapter 7, he questions the rest of the Pharisees and he says, give Jesus a chance to explain himself. He stands up for Jesus. And then right towards the end of John's Gospel, after Jesus has died on the cross and Joseph of Arimathea takes the body to lay him in a tomb, Nicodemus goes with him. You see, I think Nicodemus knew by then who Jesus was. He knew he was the saviour of the world. He had put his faith and hope in him. So just a few things to help us as we delve into this passage. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? It's a phrase that perhaps in this country we've come to think is a sort of, you know, odd American phrase. Americans always going on about being born again. But actually it's a very biblical phrase, isn't it? Jesus says you must be born again. What does he mean? Well, he goes on in verse 5. Look at this. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Now, all of us have been born. We are physically born. We somehow or other came out of our mother's wombs into this world. But in itself, that doesn't lead to us having salvation. We may have been born by wonderful Christian parents and been brought up in a wonderful Christian home. But that in itself doesn't make us a wonderful believing Christian. Because Jesus says we need to be born of water and the Spirit. What he's saying is we need to choose to say yes to God. To be born of water, we come through faith in baptism to Jesus, and we receive the Spirit in our hearts to enable us to live for him. We have, if you like, to allow ourselves to be born again, to say, yeah, all that's gone before me is great stuff. And I now own this for myself. I now say yes to Jesus. I now accept him and allow the Spirit to come into my life, to allow him, if you like, to regenerate me so that I can find out that there is more to life than this. Being born again is not about human effort. It's not about the things we do. It's not about the position we hold in society or in the church. It's not about the people we influence. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about God's intervention in our lives, about us saying yes, just as George and Alice said yes to Jesus, to say, I've heard about this stuff, but now I'm saying yes to him. All we have to do is to respond to that gracious invitation. Jesus goes on to say, the wind blows wherever it pleases. In other words, he's saying the Spirit does it his way. You know, for some of us, he will bring us to faith because we've been born into a loving Christian family and we choose to own that for ourselves. And it's all we've ever known. We've only ever followed Jesus. For others of us, we will have lived our lives just by parking God, as George told us in his testimony. And then suddenly we encounter him. And others like Alice would have known nothing about God, growing up in a community where that was just alien, and then suddenly encountering the power of God. God does it his way. The Spirit blows where he wills. The important thing is to recognize he's blowing and to say yes. And if you're here today and you don't know that for yourselves, then know that God is knocking on your door. God's love is there and he's saying, I want you to know my love. I want you to know forgiveness. I want you to know eternal hope too. And then the second thing I want to just highlight is something about what Jesus did. If we go on here into verse 14, I'll just read from verse 13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. You see, what Jesus is doing is speaking prophetically into what's going to happen to him. He's saying to Nicodemus, in something that Nicodemus wouldn't have understood, I am sure, he's saying something about his crucifixion and resurrection. Now, if you know, in the Old Testament, there was a time when the people of Israel had come out of Egypt, had come, and they were living in the wilderness, and because of their sin, there was a plague of snakes, and they were being bitten by snakes. And God said to Moses, make a bronze snake, put it on a pole, and lift it up. And when the people look at the bronze snake, they will be saved. They won't suffer from the snakes. And that was a pointer to what Jesus was going to do. And Jesus refers to that. When I am lifted up, he says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, in other words, when I'm nailed to the cross, when people look at me, then they will be saved. You see, coming to Jesus is about recognizing the sacrifice that he has made, recognizing what he did on the cross, but also knowing that through his work on the cross, we are set free. His work was so that we would not be condemned, but would have life. That's why we have this massive cross at the heart of our church, of this worship space, to remind us when we come in of the work of Jesus. So that when we look at it, it's not through just looking at it through our physical eyes and seeing a cross and thinking I'm saved. It's about knowing in our hearts what Jesus has done, accepting it for ourselves and owning that, just as when Moses lifted up the bronze snake, the people were saved. The cross enables us to gaze beyond what we see into the heavenly reality, to see Jesus with our spiritual eyes and to come to him. And then the third thing that Jesus says here is about God's love. Look at verse 16, and this is probably the most famous verse in Scripture. And if you don't know it, I just encourage you to learn it. You know, if you don't know no other Scripture, learn this by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus says to Nicodemus, I've come because I've come to show the extent of God's love. And the extent of God's love is that I will offer my life that you and all who choose to put their trust in me might live forever. God so loved the world that he was prepared to make that personal sacrifice. Not to punish us, not to condemn us, not to make us pay the price, but to pay the price himself. It's God's rescue mission for humanity, God's hope for the world. And being born again is to know that love in our hearts, to know for certain that we are saved through the work of Jesus and we have entered into the love that he shares. To know that when we do bad stuff, that God loves us so much that he forgives us. If you've got kids, you know, young kids or old kids, it doesn't really matter. You will know something of the pain that it causes you when they do stuff that upsets you, when they don't listen to you, when they get older, when they continue to live a life that perhaps you wouldn't like them to, and it hurts. But you long for them to come back, don't you? And you give them a hug, and you don't stop loving them because they hurt you. And that's exactly what God is like. Yeah, we hurt him all the time, but he reaches out to us in love, and he demonstrated that through the death of Jesus on the cross. Verse 17, God did not send Jesus to condemn the world. He sent him to save the world. It's the opposite of what so many people think. He's come that we might have life and have it for all eternity. But you know, he hasn't come just so that we can be a nice little club that retreats from the world for an hour on a Sunday morning and sing some nice songs and hear a nice talk and enjoy a cup of coffee and meet our mates and then go out and live differently. He has come so that he can bring about his kingdom on earth in our lives and beyond that. That the love that we know ripples out to our families, to our friends, to our neighbours, to the people we're meeting, work and school tomorrow. He longs that everyone knows his love, but he needs us. He needs us to help him. Just as he had 12 followers who he called to begin his work, and that group grew, and then at Pentecost there were 3,000 believers and it continued to grow. So Jesus has called people to go out, to go and to share the good news. You see, God's desire is not that some should be saved, not that we here on a Sunday morning should be saved, but that everyone should be saved. And that's what Alpha is all about. It's not about joining the church. It's not about being religious. People sometimes say to me, oh, I'm not religious. You don't have to be religious. It's about having a relationship with someone, and that someone is Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the invitation is made known through the work that we do. And the great thing is it's never too late to respond. Dear George, doing Alpha last year, coming to faith in his older years, people coming to faith in their young years, it doesn't matter. God just longs for us to come to faith. Now, some of you are listening to this and you know that you have a living relationship with Jesus. You know what it is to talk to him. You know what it is to have him walk with you through the tough times of life. And I just want to encourage you to keep on in that walk. There may be some here today who don't know that yet. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time, but if you like, hanging around the edge of what that means. Maybe you've been going through the motions, but you don't yet know what it is to have a living relationship with Jesus. Maybe faith for you is just a bit tired, a bit formal, and you need to know something more. Maybe, well, in fact, I know this to be true, all of us have got friends and family, perhaps people who live in our houses, our kids, our parents, our brothers and sisters. We've got people we'll be with tomorrow who don't yet know Jesus. And God wants to touch them too. So Alpha begins this week. The invitations to you, wherever you are in your walk with God, whatever age you are, Wednesday evening, 8 o'clock. But the invitation is to others too. You know, people aren't going to know about Jesus unless we tell them. You should all have an invitation. I know we're labouring the point. You've already had one to give away. We've given you another one this morning. There's loads more. We want you to use it to give to someone, to invite them to come. Bring them here if they're nervous to come alone. Tell them there's no pressure. We've heard from people today. They don't have to say or do or believe anything. We love it when people come with their questions and their doubts and tell us that they disagree with what we're saying. That's what Alpha's all about. We're not going to tell them off. We're not going to dismiss them. We want to hear that because it's a great opportunity for people to come and to share. So please do use that. So friends, Alpha is for us. It's for our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues. We've already got a good number of people signed in. But, you know, we long to run out of that homemade cake that there will be. We long to have to make more coffee and put more chairs out. That's not a problem. You know, we can fit people in. We can divide into groups. We'll do what we need to do. So I want you today to think, is God calling you to do Alpha? Are you perhaps not in that place that you'd like to be and you know you need to come? And that's fine. No one will judge or question you for that. And if you're feeling confident about who you are and where you are, who do you know that in the next couple of days you can invite and you can bring and they can come too.